Our scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed or anathema, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I trust the Lord will have our hearts prepared as we want to look at this portion this morning before us. Let's ask the Lord's blessing to our hearts, shall we? Thank you, Father, that we can be here. We thank you for the redemption that is ours through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The melody of the song still rings in our hearts. The truth of the words, how lost and destitute we would be if it were not for your Son being willing to come to this earth, doing your will, knowing that he was going to have to offer his body, his life on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly fulfilled the will of the Father. We thank you that you went all the way. You didn't just go part way and then say no more. But as you hung on the cross, some of your last words were, "It is finished." How we praise you. And we thank you that you have given the Holy Spirit to indwell the heart of every true believer, not only to indwell, but to enable to do your work. And we pray that our time spent today would be pleasing to you, honoring to you. We look forward to what you have for us in these verses before us. And if you tarry in the coming weeks as we embark on a whole different direction in our epistle, we look forward to all the blessings, instruction you have for us. We thank you now in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. But leave your Bibles open to that portion there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to just share some introductory material with you from John MacArthur. And he says, and I quote here, "This passage introduces the section chapters 12 through 14 that focuses on spiritual gifts, a controversial subject today within many parts of professing Christianity. Perhaps no area of biblical doctrine has been more misunderstood and abused, even within evangelicalism, than that of spiritual gifts. Yet no area of doctrine is more important to the spiritual health and effectiveness of the church. Apart from the direct energizing of God's Spirit, nothing is more vital to believers than the ministry of their spiritual gifts, their God-given endowments for Christian service. The church, as established by Jesus Christ and described and defined in the New Testament, is a living organism. The church is not a building. The church is a body, the body of Christ. It is the spiritual body of Christ who is its head, the Lord. The members of that body are entirely and exclusively those who have become new creatures through faith in Him as their Savior and Lord. Every member of Christ's church has been given supernatural endowments, gifts of the Holy Spirit, which through the Spirit are God's divine means of ministering His word and power among His people and to the world. They are God's supernatural provision for the edification of the church and the evangelization of the world. They are the means through which believers are to grow, worship, witness, and serve. True spiritual gifts are given by God to strengthen and manifest oneness, harmony, and power. Satan's counterfeit gifts are meant to divide, disrupt, and weaken. God's gifts build up. Satan's counterfeits tear down. The Corinthian church, like much of the church today, was seriously affected by counterfeiting as well as by misunderstanding and misuse of the spiritual gifts. Now, some of the Corinthian believers recognized the problem and they had written Paul about it. We saw that in verse 1 of chapter 7. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote, and we see some had recognized it. And 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 continues to answer questions that they had written to the Apostle Paul. With that as our background, I would like us to see, number one, the priority of the subject in verse 1. The priority of the subject. And in verse 1, we see Paul says, now, concerning spiritual, what's the next word? Gifts. But what do you notice about gifts? It's in italics, which means what? Man has added that word, and to keep purity of the scriptures recognizable, we could say, now concerning spirituals or spiritualities. Here we see the King James uses now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, the Liberty Study Bible in their footnotes suggests to us that that was a common Pauline expression that he starts that chapter out with. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And we notice in multiple places, about a half a dozen other places in Paul's writings, Paul used that same phrase. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. All of this just suggests that Paul was designating this, pointing out this is a very important subject, and I don't want you to miss it. So, having said that, let's see what was it that he said. I don't want you to miss out on this, and I don't want you to be confused. Now, concerning what? Spirituals or spiritual gifts. Well, with the mention of that, perhaps some questions comes to your minds. What are spiritual gifts? Who has spiritual gifts? How does one go about and get them? Do you go to the store and buy spiritual gifts? You know, when a birthday or Christmas is coming along, you go online or you go to the store and you buy gifts, don't you? Is that how one achieves or arrives at spiritual gifts? Again, the Liberty Study Bible, I thought, gave one of the most concise and understandable definitions of what a spiritual gift is. And I want to just quote you this word for word. A spiritual gift is a sovereignly given ability to minister to others in the power of God with an evident manifestation or display of the Holy Spirit through the Christian as he serves God. End of quote. Now I'll read it faster. I was giving the note takers time to write it down. A spiritual gift is a sovereignly given ability to minister to others in the power of God with an evident manifestation of the Holy Spirit through the Christian as he ministers or serves God. Now, as we will see, Paul is going to be dealing with the questions that we raised a moment ago. What are they? Who has them? How do you get them? These and perhaps other questions in the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter. But having looked at the priority of the subject in verse 1, let's notice number 2, in verses 2 and 3, he referred to their past. He referred to their past, the Corinthians to whom he was writing this letter. And here it says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand, I want you to understand, is how we would say that, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, or anathema is the Greek word, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. What's Paul bringing up here as he referred to their past? Many of the Corinthian believers had been saved from idol worship. We see the scriptural reference to the gospel coming to Corinth in Acts chapter 18. We looked at that months ago as we began our study. And Corinth was a city known for its idolatry, big time. That was just life for these Gentile people. They were big into it, and Paul makes reference to that. He says, you know, you Gentiles, many of you, you were carried away. You were caught up in idolatry before the gospel came, and you heard that salvation comes only by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you turn from idols, and you put your faith and trust in Him. But as we saw here in that 10th chapter some weeks ago, we saw that his reference to idol worship back in chapter 10, he had pointed out that all idol worship is connected to demons. Demonology, idolatry, hand in glove. They are connected. Anyone that bows down to worships an idol, we found scripturally, is actually worshiping a demon, one of the spiritual forces of darkness, not of God, but of Satan. And we saw here that it was not uncommon for worshipers in their demon involvement to become overcome by the power of darkness or the demon. And many times those caught up in idolatry would begin to cry out certain things. Mr. Green had this to say. Bible history and Bible antiquity tell us that in Paul's day, when the saints were gathered for worship and the gospel was being preached, many times unbelievers or hostile persons would gain entrance into the synagogue where the gospel was being preached. And in the midst of the message, these intruders would often suddenly spring to their feet and shout out, "Anathema, Jesus! Cursed be Jesus," as the gospel was proclaiming the truth regarding Jesus. Historians tell us that the Gnostics demanded that anyone who joined them shout out those same words, "Anathema, Jesus! Cursed be Jesus!" Mr. Green goes on to say that the apostles' statement that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit could use this blasphemous phrase is a preliminary to the second statement that only through the Holy Spirit can one make the declaration that Jesus is Lord. A believer who is led in the recognition of the lordship of Christ in his life is led there only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this work of the Holy Spirit is for one unceasing object, and that is to glorify Christ. So as we look at this, Paul wanted his readers to understand from the outset that which was truly from God would only and always glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. They were familiar with people just all of a sudden shouting out certain things. And evidently there were those among them at Corinth that was raising the eyebrows of some. There are some who are, you know, they're carried away in the spirit and it seems like they're worshiping, but all of a sudden they're shouting out, "Anathema, Jesus." And Paul says, "I want you to know that no true believer is ever going to say, 'Cursed be Jesus.'" And by the same token, no one can truly say that Jesus is Lord and mean it and have its effect obvious in their life apart from the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, anybody can vocalize the words, "Jesus is Lord." Anybody on the street could say that. But with evidence of it being demonstrated in the life, in the way they are living, and the change that has come about, "Jesus is my Lord. That's why I live the way I do. That's why I stay away from things that I stay away from." And Paul says, there's the difference. You're familiar with people shouting out things in your meetings. That was way back from your idolatrous worship. But he said, "I just want you to know, if you're wondering, is this person really led of the Holy Spirit or isn't he?" Paul said, listen to what they're saying and how they are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never put down our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will always exalt, glorify, magnify. And you know what was true when Paul wrote that? Is still true today. There are a lot of quote-unquote ministries that supposedly are serving the Lord. But when you begin to read or listen to what they are proclaiming, one of the key factors is focus on what they are saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the determining factor. There's the determining factor. Truth, error, false, or something that could well be believed. Well, as he has made reference to their past, number three, we discover in verses 4, 5, and 6 that he identified God's provisions. He identified God's provisions. Now, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts. What are gifts? Well, gifts are extraordinary enablements due to the operation of the Holy Spirit. Extraordinary enablements, and we're going to see some things that gifts are and aren't a bit later. But he says there are diversities of gifts, enablements given by the Holy Spirit himself. And that word diversities suggests to us what? They're all the same, aren't they? Everybody has the same gift, don't they? No. There's diversities. There are differences of these divine enablements. He goes on in verse 5 and he says, and there are differences of administrations or kinds of services, but the same Lord. Administrations, what's that? This is service or ministries endowed with the power of God to promote the cause of Christ among men. Services, ministries that have been given, that have been empowered of God to do what? Promote the cause of Christ. And again, he uses the word differences, diversities in verse 4 and 6, differences in verse 5. And then in verse 6, as he is identifying God's provisions for the believers, in verse 6 he says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God behind them all, which worketh all in all. Operations. What's that? That's workings or effects. And the whole thing that Paul teaches and wants his readers to see is that with all these differences and variations, behind it all is God operative at work, and it is God putting forth the power. Did you notice, though you never find the word Trinity in the New Testament or the Bible anywhere, did you notice the reference to the Trinity in those four verses? Isn't that great? For those who talk about, well, you know, there is no such thing as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yes, there is, and time again we find reference to it. Not three gods, but three persons of the Godhead. And we see that Paul very clearly brings this out. And if you like to make marks and notes, this is a good portion for you to just make note of if you're talking with somebody and you want to give them a good reference to the reality of the Trinity, although you don't find that word anywhere. Here you go. Well, from these things, let's notice as he, number four, listed some peculiarities. Not peculiarities, scratch that word. Particulars. He listed some particulars. He's talked about there's diversities of gifts, and there are different administrations, and there's diversity of operations. Well, in verses 8 through 10, he listed some of those particulars. Now, as we look at this verse, verses 8, 9, 10, if you haven't done the math work yet, he listed 9 gifts of the Spirit in verses 8, 9, and 10. Then you say, okay, there are 9 of them. Scratch that. This is not a complete listing of the gifts of the Spirit. We find gifts referred to in verse 28 of this chapter. We find gifts referred to in Romans 12, 6 through 8. We find gifts referred to in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And we find gifts referred to in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. If you want to get the total picture, look up all those references and jot down all the diversities, all the differences. There's where you're going to get the picture of those that we have record of in Scripture. Now, the apostle does not explain the functions of the particular gifts in this section before us. That's not his point. His point here is to illustrate the variety in kinds of gifts, as well as to emphasize the common source of the gifts. That's what verses 8, 9, and 10 are about. And if you've come here expecting to find a great big rendition for the next 72 minutes of these nine gifts, you're going to be mistaken, because Paul doesn't really go in to describe these things. That's a whole study on its own. He lists them again to illustrate the variety of kinds and to emphasize the common source. The common source is whom? God. Sometimes mentioned the Lord, sometimes mentioned the Father, sometimes mentioned the Spirit. Now, there are some general truths that these verses give to us. And I want us to read verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse or different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues." As we look at this, there are some things that I would like us to keep in mind, and that is these general truths, as we have just kind of scratch the surface on this topic of spiritual gifts this morning. And here are some general truths. A, spiritual gifts are divine enablements for believers to minister in the power of the Spirit. That's what spiritual gifts are. They are divine enablements for a believer to minister in the power of the Spirit. B, spiritual gifts are not, get that word, N-O-T. Spiritual gifts are not talents or natural abilities. Now, a believer might use natural talents after he or she has been saved, but gifts come only as a result of salvation. Gifts are not something a person is just born with or has learned to develop. That is not what a spiritual gift is. Again, God has used naturally talented individuals over the years, and they have used their gift that has come from the Spirit and they have incorporated their natural ability musically, the gift of speaking to groups, or the gift of studying the scriptures, studying the manuscripts, and they can use it greatly. But this point B is, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, erase it from your mind that, well, that's just talking about some natural gift or ability that someone has, not. Which brings us to this kind of concluding summary. Spiritual gifts are supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit only and always to believers. Unsaved people do not get gifts of the Spirit. They have nothing to do with the Spirit of God. They are only and always to believers. They are special capacities bestowed on the believers to equip them to minister supernaturally and effectively in the Lord's work. They are special capacities given to them by the Lord to effectively fulfill the ministry that God is using them in. Well, with these truths in mind, let's continue on, note takers, with number 5. Who has spiritual gifts? Here's your outline point. Paul identified the possessors. Number 5, Paul identified the possessors. Who has them? Do you? Does she? Does he? Who has these spiritual gifts? The answer we see in verse 7 and verse 11. Who has spiritual gifts? Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, what does your Bible say? Huh? Everyone. To profit, or for the good, for the benefit. Are you saying, Pastor, that every Christian, every true believer in Christ has a gift from the Spirit? Absolutely. I didn't say it. Paul did in verse 7. The manifestation, the demonstration, the reality of the Spirit is given to everyone to benefit. You see it again in verse 11 when it says, but all these workings, that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to, what's your Bible say? Everyone, every man, individually, as he wills. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Many believers have numerous spiritual gifts. There is one author that I read suggested that he believed that Paul possessed every spiritual gift in his ministry for the Lord. That was one man's opinion on that. But everyone has at least one if you're a true believer. Multiple, many times. use in serving the Lord. Let's look at some other places to solidify this point that I'm making. You know, Pastor, I'm not so sure that I agree with you that I've been a Christian a long time and I don't have a spiritual gift. Well, someone's not telling the truth. Paul, in verses 7 and 11, indicated that the Spirit distributes to everyone. Was the Holy Spirit lying? Was Paul lying? Let's look elsewhere where Paul said in Romans chapter 12, Paul also wrote that, verses 3 through 6a, Romans 12, 3 through 6a. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to whom? What's it say? Everyone or every man, the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he begins to list them. He had said, we all have, verse 3, the Holy Spirit has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And in verse 6, we have gifts that differ according to his grace. God does not have the same purpose for every believer in their service for the Lord. Ephesians 4, 7, Paul wrote this when he said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone, every true believer has at least one gift. We go back to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Manifestation, it means to make known or clear or to make obvious. It's going to be recognizable. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Spiritual gifts make the Holy Spirit known, clear, and evident in the church and to the world. And then he says in verse 7, these gifts are given not so that people will just look at you and say, oh, wow, man, that's something, the way you can preach. That's something, the way you can sing. That's something, the way you can dispute. You can take a portion of Scripture and, wow, that's not why these gifts have been given to us. It's for the profit, verse 7, of the whole, for the church, for the body of Christ. That's why we see it is for the edifying and help to the church, to God's people, whom he brings together in his name. He has distributed those for the good of the whole. not for the glorification of an individual. Finally, he gives us a closing thought. Note takers, number six. This makes up for the last couple of messages when I didn't really have an outline for you to follow. We doubled my normal three, didn't we? Number six, verse 11. Paul verified the provider. He identified the possessors in verses 7 through 11. Everybody has at least one. But in verse 11, he verified the provider. What do you mean, Pastor? Where do these gifts come from? Notice the Spirit is behind them all. I don't know if you did any counting in these first 11 verses, but you can check me. In my study Bible on my desk where I like to use colored pencils, I found reference to the Spirit 7 times in these 11 verses. Remember Jonathan? Remember what he said about the number 7? That was what? That was the special, that was the number of completeness. And you're going to find 7 times, Spirit, 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 Spirit. It's His power, His enablement, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people, when they make reference to the Holy Spirit, they think about, ooh, Spirit, Spirit, oh, what are we talking about here? You know, like some kind of spooky thing? That's not how the Scriptures present to us the Holy Spirit. Albert Barnes had some closing comments, summary regarding the person of the Holy Spirit in these 11 verses that we have looked at. And I'd like to just close with the quotations here. Mr. Barnes says, number one, the Holy Ghost is a person. Yeah, ghost, that's the old King James. Spirit, He is a person. Why do you say that? Because He distributes to everyone as He, what? Wills. He is a person. He exercises His will. He consciously decides certain things and operates accordingly. Number two, He is sovereign, which means He gives to all as He pleases. It's up to Him who gets what. It's not for the believer to say, oh Lord, give me the gift of. Over the years, there have been so much distortion, so much damage done to the cause of Christ when certain groups have taken a certain gift and they've elevated it, they've put it in the spotlight, and they say, every Christian, you ought to pray for this gift. Ask God to give you that gift. You'll find that in Scripture. We see here Mr. Barnes says He's sovereign and He gives to all as He pleases. It's up to Him who gets what, not give me the gift of. It's up to Him. Number three, no man should be proud of his endowments and what God has given him. Whatever they may be, they are the gifts of God bestowed by His sovereign will and mercy. Number four, no man should be depressed or should despise his gift, however humble they may be. We're not to be going around pouting because I didn't get the gift of. My gift is so minuscule in comparison to what he has or what she. No. We need to recognize them as from the Lord and receive them as such. Number five, no man should despise another because he is in a more humble rank or less favored than himself. My gift is, all you got was. No. God has made the difference, and we should respect and honor his arrangements. I trust this message has been a help and encouragement as we have opened the door on the topic of spiritual gifts. I'll tell you, I am kind of in a dither between. Do I just continue on? I mean, we pick up at verse 12 of chapter 12, and we start about how that just like our bodies, we're not all one big thumb, but the body's all different. Or do we kind of just put this on pause for a little bit? And I was noticing in the Liberty Study Bible, there is an excellent study regarding serving gifts. They've also got an excellent study on sign gifts. Some, they're not all here anymore. Some were just given for a time as a sign. Would you pray for me that I would know which direction to go on this? Do we stop our verse by verse and just pick up some of those topics for a while? I'd appreciate that. Let's close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask the men to come up and join me for the distribution of our communion elements. We thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for this portion. Thank you for its truth. Thank you that it can instruct us, teach us. Lord, perhaps some of us need some clarification, some guidance, some renewed thoughts about this matter of spiritual gifts and enablements. Oh, down through the ages, it has been so damaged by overemphasis in some groups on certain things and topics, and what damage it's done to the name of Christ. We want to be true to you. And so we pray your guidance, leading, and direction. And we just commit this to you, anticipating the coming weeks in your glory in this. We thank you now in your name.